Penguin Random House Audio presents Risk, A User's Guide by General Stanley A. McChrystal, U.S. Army, retired, and Anna Batrico. This is the author, Stan McChrystal. Note to listeners, this program includes a downloadable PDF containing a chart and diagram from the book. To the healthcare and other essential workers who, when faced with risk that is often difficult to effectively assess and impossible to completely mitigate, respond with quiet courage and too often sacrifice themselves for others. Prologue. Crimson Contagion. We are too much accustomed to attribute to a single cause that which is the product of several, and the majority of our controversies come from that. Marcus Aurelius, philosopher and emperor of Rome. You may remember how it started. A Chicago tourist returning from China carrying a deadly respiratory virus. The 52-year-old traveler was the first confirmed American carrier of a novel influenza virus. The virus spread quickly through human-to-human contact, and within days, hospitals across the country were overrun with patients experiencing fevers, chills, low energy, and unrelenting coughs. America's medical supply chain failed, and critical resources, like protective gear and essential medical equipment, fell in short supply. In mere weeks, the situation went from bad to worse. Medical professionals, the critical front line of the response to the virus, quickly became patients themselves, further straining systems that buckled under the weight of a pandemic-inflicted population. An ill-defined leadership structure, combined with mixed communications from Washington, thwarted a competent response to the outbreak. Within months of the initial case emerging in Chicago, the virus was on track to infect 110 million Americans and kill 586,000, a mortality rate roughly five times greater than that of the common seasonal flu. It constituted a national calamity of the first order. You may think that you recall these events, but they didn't actually happen. In fact, the outbreak starting in Chicago was the scenario for a series of exercises called Crimson Contagion that the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS, convened in 2019 to test the United States' capacity to respond to a severe pandemic. Its results were as alarming as they were conclusive. Our nation was woefully underprepared. Crimson Contagion was a wake-up call, but the nation slept through the alarm. Although key members of the administration were aware of what the exercises revealed, issues that ranged from severe equipment shortages to uncoordinated federal and state responses, the White House stood by its 2018 decision to dismantle the National Security Council Directorate that was responsible for pandemic preparedness. And there's scant evidence that Crimson Contagion's findings, specifically recommendations about school closures and fast, widespread testing, led to changes in policy. Tragically, in a matter of just a few short months, the systemic weaknesses that were identified by the exercise were proved all too real. The foreboding crimson bubbling back to the surface with a virus of a different name, COVID-19. COVID-19 is a contagious respiratory and vascular disease caused by severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus 2, SARS-CoV-2. Put simply, the virus is a thief that breaks into bodies and corrupts cells in human airways. Once in position, the pathogen passes harmful RNA into healthy cells, which then produce proteins that, like accomplices, aid in creating copies of the virus. The virus travels from host to host in fluid droplets, originating in airways that are spread through coughing or even breathing, making transmission possible without direct human contact. COVID-19's collision with the world began modestly. In late December 2019, when doctors identified cases of pneumonia of unknown origin in Wuhan, China, tracing these cases back to one location, the Hunan Seafood Wholesale Market. Initial responses were contradictory. The Wuhan Municipal Health Commission released an urgent notice to doctors about this mysterious new illness, but health professionals who publicly posted about the pneumonia were reprimanded for spreading rumors, and most critically, Chinese officials did not immediately report their concerns to the World Health Organization, WHO. Still, online murmurs of these concerns grew louder, eventually springing up on the U.S.-based open-source Program for Monitoring Emerging Diseases, ProMed, platform, created to share information about outbreaks with the public. On New Year's Eve 2019, the WHO confirmed 27 cases in China's Hubei province, and 11 days later, the first COVID-19 death. Attempting reassurance, authorities stressed that there had been no new cases since January 3rd, no proof of the virus spreading person to person, and no infections among medical professionals. Then on January 13th, the virus sprang up in Thailand, the first case outside China. By the following week, cases had spread to Japan and South Korea, and Chinese officials reversed their January 11th announcement, confirming that the virus had infected healthcare workers and can be spread person to person. The first American case was confirmed on January 21st, a small red dot of infection on the global map. 2 days later, Chinese authorities suspended transportation out of the city of Wuhan, at that time assessed to be the virus's point of origin. But the gesture was too late, the equivalent of using a garden hose to douse a fire that had already engulfed the house, with its flames now racing to the buildings down the street. The red dots that started in Wuhan were spreading rapidly. By the beginning of February, COVID-19's global death toll had climbed to at least 360. The pathogen was now statistically more lethal and spreading faster than any pandemic in living memory, the infected air droplets dispersing and sickening citizens around the globe. The WHO moved cautiously, declaring a public health emergency of international concern, PHEIC, a balancing act attempting to raise a red flag without inducing global panic. But by late February, the menace was starkly evident when an American with no travel history to an outbreak area and no known contact with anyone infected was diagnosed with COVID-19. The implication was huge. With no way of recreating the pattern of transmission, scientists realized that the extent of the virus's presence in America remains largely unknown. Over the next 2 weeks, cases in Italy skyrocketed, and death tolls rose steeply in Iran, Spain, the United Kingdom, and elsewhere, causing nations to start to declare national stay-at-home orders. On March 11th, the WHO, no longer trying to avoid raising unnecessary alarm, declared a pandemic. The balancing act was over. A war that had begun 3 months before was finally declared. The world haltingly girded for combat, but the enemy had already gained crucial ground, and just over a week later, reported global infections passed 200,000. To be sure, COVID-19 is highly infectious and too often lethal, but it is not unconquerable. And as a variant of SARS, it is not particularly novel. Human history has borne witness to countless pandemics, the deadly 1918 Spanish flu, and more recently, the public health crises of SARS, H1N1.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?